Hello everyone, this is Cody from the Rancor's Brothel. I wanted to make a quick announcement just before this episode. I promise to keep it fairly brief. As you'll soon notice very, very quickly, we've finally gotten to games that were played during quarantine. Obviously, this is not the auditory ideal, but ultimately, just like everyone else, we want that bit of normalcy. We want to play games, we want to hang out with each other, we're kind of friends outside the podcast, so we're exploring uncharted waters for us. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to the folks who tried all this out, all the players. Obviously, Dave running online, that was all an adjustment to get used to. But a very, very big thanks to both Jeff and Schroeder. They worked very, very hard to get this edit to the standard that we've been setting for a long time. I cannot overstate the amount of work that those two men have done to try and get this episode up and running. Big, big shout out to both of them. Honestly, it's impressive what they were able to accomplish given the circumstances. This episode may sound a little different than normal, but it's the same goofy guys doing the same dumb stuff we do every week. So hopefully you're all safe, hopefully you're all well, and I hope you enjoy the show. The Rancor's Brothel presents a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Nev Thelian.
All right, so in the city of Valakur, having been kicked out of the Brass Palace, well, maybe just one person got kicked out of the Brass Palace.
Thrown out into public.
You have regrouped, you have spent some time buying a few magic items and other trinkets throughout the city, and you are preparing to make your way south into the Greensong Isles.
I know a boat we can hire.
Do you now?
Yeah, it's called the Rusty Bucket.
Oh, God.
They should be back in port by now, right?
I bet you Nishka could go hire him.
Hey, Nishka, go hire the Rusty Bucket. Tell him you got like four other party members. Don't tell him who it is.
Yeah, they may want the rest of their money back from the first trip, so let's not do that.
Pull up urban combat maps.
Guys, we can own a boat. We just kill all the sailors.
Now that's an idea.
We'll be pirates. I want to be a pirate.
Pirates, you are a pirate.
Who's got good negotiation skills? I did it last time, I think. Troy and I did, maybe?
Troy,
no.
You got
Troy was supposed to go do it.
Yeah, my persuasion's a plus +8.
Wow.
Can you go now? Where are we going exactly? Are we going to Barlin's Rock? Is that where we're going?
I think that's past there.
Yeah, I thought it was. Is it that island though? I thought it was another island.
Dave, can you ping on the map where the f*** we're supposed to go?
Yeah, oh, down over here.
Okay, so if we're going there, Barlin's Rock is probably the closest point because we're probably gonna have to walk over land, right?
You don't think so? I think it's coastal.
Well, I guess that's the thing. Is it cheaper to get transport to Barlin's Rock and then walk, or maybe we can get to Barlin's Rock and then see if a local will take us?
Your experience is that someone's going to charge you for passage on their ship, you know. Well, I suppose if you, like, specifically chartered them and they weren't going to go there anyway, it'd probably cost more. But if they were going to go there anyway, the rate would probably be the same.
Yeah, I'd say let's find out who's going to Barlin's Rock first. It might be worthwhile, rather than just going to a random place, if we actually got information ahead of time. And I listened to the episode today, but what the fuck are we doing again?
We're
going to an abandoned temple to get something for the dragon who has the key.
Right. I just didn't remember what that something was from listening to it during work today.
In all honesty, neither do I.
He is looking for a specific basin that the monks at the monastery used for various rituals.
Oh yeah, I made a joke about it being a fucking jar of mayonnaise or whatever.
Oh yeah, it purifies food and drink and
creates holy water.
Yeah.
Cool.
Shit, I can do that.
How much holy water you need? But yeah, it might not be a bad idea before running off to a unknown temple to go to Barlin's Rock and maybe suss out the area. That's just my two cents.
One other reminder is that your general knowledge of the area, particularly Kellen's general knowledge, and probably Alex as well, is that the Greenzong Isles has a weird magical phenomenon in the area that makes the use of magic fiddly.
You talked about that last time.
Yeah.
Only if you suck.
This should be awesome.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Let's go.
Just go start slinging spells just to see what the hell happens. I can't wait to see what happens if I try and summon a demon I can't control in a place where magic doesn't work right. Awesome.
That's pretty chaotic when magic does work right.
Exactly. So, you know, let's just crank this shit up to 11 and see what happens.
I mean, you remember what happened when you guys went to the Netherese tomb and out of the abyss?
I don't
and
care
magic
about...
magic was all wonky?
I don't care about random magic tables, Jeff. Bring it on.
Famous last words.
Or, you know, nobody hears him say it. They won't be very famous.
Tens of people listen to this show, Dave.
Tens of them. Dozens.
So yeah, I'd say who's going to Barlin's Rock first? Because that's so close, that's got to be like a standard passage fare. You know what I mean? We shouldn't have to hire anybody. It should be kind of cheap.
Well, you go looking.
Let's go see what we can find.
Troy.
Okay. Sure. So you head down to the Valakor docks, or rather the larger docks, on the islands at the southern end of the delta, and start trolling around looking for ships. Do you want to go straight to like the dockmaster's office and get information there?
I would think the dockmaster's probably easiest because they're going to know if they're like, I don't know what we know about this place, but if it's nearby, it's, wait, I can do this if I use the tool that Dave told me about. It's 350 miles roughly to Barlin's Rock, which based on this goddamn map is like next door. So they probably have a pretty populated trade route. So maybe just go to the dockmaster and be like, hey, what's the next ship for Barlin's Rock and how much is passage? Because maybe they have ships coming every 20 days or 15 days or whatever.
Okay. Well, then if no one peels off and does otherwise, you head to the harbor master's office. I got the right word that time.
Close enough.
Yeah. And walk on in. And once again, like just wait in a short little line and then get up to the table. And where was I? Okay, didn't write that down. All right, get up to the table, ask about stuff going to Barlin's Rock, and there's a ship heading there tomorrow called the Rosemonger, and there's a couple others that the harbor master is expecting to go there once they arrive in port and get stuff and then leave again, and those are going to be in about 3 or 4 days' time.
So in the city of Iron and Rose University, if there's a ship called the Rosemonger, is it fair to assume that there's also an ironmonger somewhere around here?
Well, that's an actual trade.
Oh, see, I was thinking of the Iron Man villain.
Oh.
I guess. Would they know how much passage costs on the Rosemonger? Is that like a standard type fare?
The harbor master tells you to expect anywhere between 30 and 40 gold.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Who is our talky person? Do we have an actual persuasion person?
Troy.
Yes, me.
Alright, boss.
That came
man.
Up just a bit ago. He has a +8.
I couldn't remember if we were talking persuasion or investigation.
Yeah, Inari was also very talky-talky, but not so much anymore.
Well, Father Dark,
so persuasion, yes. Investigation, no.
Gotcha. So can you
got investigation. Oh, wait, so go seek out the captain of the Rosemonger.
Okay, so you head down the docks, and you find the Rosemonger just a little ways down. It's a like a sort of caravel-looking sort of ship, not super large, but it's got like 3 or 4 decks, and is, you know, the standard sort of 120 feet long sort of thing. The captain is a half-orc who she sort of comes down the gangplank as you're walking up to the ship, like down the dock, and sort of gives you a nod and says, "Hi, what are you looking for?"
We're looking for passage to Barlin's Rock. Me and my three fellow people. I don't know. Sorry, lost word. I was going to say.
So for
and
you,
a drake.
Patriots. There we go.
A drake?
Oh, yeah.
That thing?
Yes.
It's a her. Yeah.
All right. All right. Sorry. Sorry.
Jeff, that reminds me. I was going to say, you could just have him record funny things and have Schroeder edit it in post.
He did say he was interested.
Just give him a scene and just give him a setup and let him do.
And then also, what about that? And points at Claw.
What about?
Oh, yes. I couldn't remember if we had a Claw at the moment.
What number are we on?
I believe this is iteration 4.
I say 4 or 5.
Oh, 4?
4.
Claw IV.
Anybody else get a message on Roll 20? Oh, never mind. It went away.
Yeah. They usually go away after too long. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So I guess 6 of us.
So are any of these two going to cause problems for my cargo?
I don't know what your cargo.
The gnomes, you're probably a bigger worry than anything.
Kellen waves.
I just don't want anything going around like eating things and tearing up stuff. And
no, again, the gnome's probably your bigger worry.
Kellen waves again.
I will look down to Pipsky and in Draconic ask, you can behave on a ship, right?
I can behave anywhere.
Oh, yeah. And I cast her as Estelle Getty.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Sophia from Golden Girls.
Also doesn't mean anything to me.
Damn it, Dave.
That's even better. Oh, hell.
The mob from Stop Where My Mom Will Shoot.
Yes. Wow. Wait, deep cuts. There,
I
Troy.
Remember that movie.
Oh, God. How much are they charging us here? Because, I mean, it's not going to be very much anyway.
So the half orc sort of looks at you again and says, well, we are heading there tomorrow with the morning tide. We'll do, say, 37 gold ahead.
That's that very includes specific.
That includes your two, your drake and yes. your
Yes, dog? They do have heads.
Okay. You just call it 200 even.
You said 250, Troy?
I said 200.
Oh.
250 is more than you just asked for.
Okay. You can go ahead and make a persuasion check.
It's a good call. Try and drop her down by 10% the price.
How do I add my modifier to the roll? To a plus?
Yeah. Right?
You can plus 5 to that.
No, that's a shitty roll. Oh, no. I got guidance on myself.
She sort of was like, 215.
210
you caught that ideal. You caught that I put a plus 5 on that, right?
How? Sure. Oh, that with your ability thing?
Or ability, yeah.
Plus another 2. So let's call it 19.
Okay. All right, 210.
Deal.
Okay. However, if you do ruin anything, you also owe me for damages. Just saying.
Yeah, that'll come out of the gnome's pocket.
Mage hand middle finger.
Nothing like a glowing middle finger.
Yep. Sparkles. So that's 50 for myself and Alec, and the extra 5 can be chipped in by each of you two assholes who have animals.
Sure. That sounds good.
Damn, do I hate doing math.
Do you?
Yes. How do I make the... Oh, background chat beep, you said. I didn't hear it until just now. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. So they're sailing tomorrow. Do you just want to hang out and drink yourself stupid tonight, or...
Not stupid, but yes. This is the last chance we're going to be in civilization for a while. I mean, I guess I don't know anything about Barlin's Rock. I mean, that... I mean, it could be, you know...
You want to try and find out stuff about Barlin's Rock?
Yeah, let's investigate.
Can we investigate from a bar?
Yeah.
Sweet. There's got to be a bar by the docks. Let's investigate there.
Yeah.
There's got to be a bar by the docks where this crew hangs out.
Do we want to leave that impression with them, Jeff?
You assume that we're going to leave a bad impression. We could go cozy up to them and make friends with the crew in advance.
Have you met this group?
Nope.
Hey, I'm not playing a thief anymore. Group, I mean,
and by this group, I mean like the three, you know, chaotic assholes in my group.
I'm not chaotic. I'm true neutral.
Yeah, I'm not chaotic.
Yeah, same difference.
That is the most fucking not... religious thing you've ever said.
to a cleric, if you're not lawful good, you're chaotic evil.
No shit, exactly. Yeah, I'll roll investigation at the bar if you'll allow it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this fancy roll 20, though. I'm going to do it on the die so I can lie.
I'll join him in investigating.
That'd be a 13 with my plus 9.
Or you could help him.
Oh.
Yeah, let's just call it aid. Go ahead and reroll, Cody.
All right. Hey, I doubled it to an 8, so 17.
Okay. So through an hour or two of wandering around, drinking, talking to other sailors, probably buying them a drink or two.
Oh, for sure, especially if they're on the Rosemonger. We put it on Darkwood's tab.
You're able to gather that while Barlin's Rock is an independent city, you know, and it is, you know, like one of the, it's probably the largest port in the Isles. It is sort of, independent is perhaps too strong a word, because they do sort of pay tribute every now and then to certain fleets. Like, they end up buying off pirates quite a bit.
For sure.
To leave them alone. And when they're not buying them off, the pirates are often just sort of there. And it's not like a completely lawless place. It's not Tortuga.
I was just going to ask if it was Tortuga.
Yeah. Not quite. Probably more along the lines of, like, I'm blanking on my Caribbean cities.
Well, I mean, I was actually going to ask, have you seen Black Sails, Dave, or anyone else?
No, I've been vaguely interested, but I haven't seen it.
Oh my God. Anyone else seen it? It's so, I love it, but I like pirate stuff.
No, yeah. I haven't.
So good. Such a great, great intro song for starters. But just there's, they do have a, I was Googling it to try and figure out where it's actually takes place, but they do have this whole thing that they are technically, like, I don't remember if they're British or French or whatever, but they're a port that is connected to X, Y, or Z country, but it's 2,000 miles across the Atlantic, right? So they are trying to navigate this government while being closer to the fucking pirates than they are to whoever is in charge. So there's some neat back and forth with some piracy and do you establish yourself with the pirates or whatever. So I could see that as being sort of Barlin's Rock setting.
Yeah, so probably more along the lines of Port Royal, where it's, you know, ostensibly governed, but there's a lot of pirates there.
For sure.
And smugglers and other ne'er-do-wells.
What are we looking at population-wise?
It is not huge, probably a couple thousand.
Okay. Climate?
Quite tropical.
So, I mean, even though we're only going 300 miles south, it's going to get fairly hot.
You're going to go from subtropical in Valakur to tropical, yeah.
Okay. Not that I'm recording the music, but you should legit look that up on YouTube and play that in the Roll 20 when we arrive. That's such a good intro song.
I do have a couple tracks from the Pirates films.
Oh my God.
And playlists.
It's like one of my secret things. I wish that we've talked about this before, Dave. I wish there was a good pirate RPG, because holy shit, I would love to play the fuck out of that.
Okay, noted. I've actually run I guess it was a one shot in 17th century Caribbean in Honor and Intrigue.
Nice.
Which is an indie system. It was fun. It was my first experience with the system, and I'm not sure that I would use it for a whole campaign.
That's fair.
I wouldn't use D&D for it either, because D&D does not do boats well.
No, not at all. Not real boats, but then it kind of becomes almost like mechs. Like, how detailed do you want to get before it becomes tedious?
Yeah, I mean, like, 7th, I've heard a lot of great things about 7th Sea, especially the setting, not so much the mechanics.
Fair.
Anyway, this is all a tangent, so...
do we actually meet any sailors from the Rosemonger? Oh, sorry.
I'm going to say that Salt Marsh that came out like last year or year before. Anybody check that out?
I have a copy of it.
It's supposed to be update.
I've used the ship rules for it once. and they worked well enough, and it was a fun session. They're not like unusable or anything. I just don't think that they have a whole lot of depth for if you wanted to do it, you know, like every other session, if you were doing a lot of ship stuff. I think it would probably get a little old.
Are there any spells in that, Dave?
It's just not strictly that I recall. Adventure, isn't it? I mean, the whole ship rules are their own section in the back. But I don't think there's any spells.
I might go grab a copy, or my copy, just in case it's needed. That's a good call, Troy, actually. Do we meet
one thing I did discover, one thing I did discover is that you need a fucking huge map. Because
boats don't turn around very easily.
No, and the boats are like 100 feet long to begin with, so...
Just to continue the tangent, did anyone ever play the Pirates card game where you popped it out and created your own ships?
I remember you telling me about it.
I liked that.
Oh my god. I wish I could find that. They reprinted that, Craig. WizKids did.
Cool.
You like popped out plastic ships. It came in a blister pack of cards and you popped out ships and you actually physically built the ships. And then like the ships would travel distances based on the size of the card. So like slow moving ships would move the short length of the card, and then like fast moving ships would move the long length of the card, and you had to like arrange firing arcs and shit. It's a really, really cool game called like Pirates of the Caribbean or some shit like that. I don't remember what it was, but it was very cool. Anyway, carry on. We get on the boat, I assume, unless anyone has any other investigation or drinking to do.
You do meet...
Nishka will do plenty of drinking, but no.
And Pipsky would also partake. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Rip to this bottle that I bought prior to coronavirus.
Rip.
I'll do my usual thing of hanging out with y'all and tinkering away.
Sure. You are able to meet a sailor or two from the Rosemonger, if you wanted to ask them anything specific.
How long does it take to get to Barlin's Rock? How many days travel is that?
Well,
the place that we're intending to go, does it have like a name, like a temple or something, or more specific?
Something that we could maybe name? Research.
Ye old house on Haunted Hill.
I'll just more even ask around, like, hey, have you heard of, you know, the temple, whatever.
Okay. I mean, you can make a roll.
You're asking a lot from me right now. All right. I'm going to just use my regular. Was that just going to be investigation?
Yes.
13.
13?
Yeah.
You ask around a bunch, and you find people who sort of are familiar with the area you're talking about, but they don't remember anything about a temple in that area.
No, that's
there was, someone had a bunch of background noise for a second.
Oh.
All I know is that my wife giggled, and then Kieran started stomping, so I tried to mute.
To answer Cody's question, you expect that it's probably going to take about 4.5 days, something like that.
Okay, let's get going.
Agreed.
Yeah, let's do it.
Get up okay, so you
back in boat.
Go ahead.
For having taken the Stone of Good Luck, which is a +1 bonus to ability checks and saving throws.
Okay.
Is it more correct to put a +1 to the override in ability scores or to in the override in each of the skills and each of the saving throws? Or am I not?
It'd be better to put it on each of the skills and saves.
Okay. Because it's not actually raising your ability scores, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm not. I am understanding that correctly to put on the skills, which are ability checks, right?
They are ability checks, yes, but they're not raising your ability scores.
But if something were an ability check that was not one of the listed, I would have to remember to add that.
Oh.
Right.
I suppose, like, it also says add to ability checks.
Yeah, all ability checks, so that includes initiative.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, so you could also add a +1 to initiative. Okay. Yeah, yeah, I guess that's just something you'll have to keep in mind, because it doesn't increase your modifier or anything.
Right. Okay, thank you.
All right, so on the day you set sail in Valakur, it's raining. It has been since you got back here. It's been just like a constant sort of rainy season sort of rain. And is actually on the chillier side. It's like 38 degrees. As you head south, it's the 18th. As you head south, it actually starts raining harder, and the wind picks up a bit. And you are not making quite the speedy progress you hoped for, as the chop picks up and makes... you sort of have to, like, tack against the wind, like, sort of zigzag back and forth a good bit. Let's see here. Measuring. So that first day, you make it maybe about 60 miles or so out of port. And then as night falls, they keep sailing, but they, like, reef the sails in even closer so that they're going at a nice slow pace and they don't have any risk being, like, strongly blown off course or having, you know, the wind catch the sails and, like, tilting, what's the word? Listing too much. Go ahead and make constitution saves for me.
Oh, go f*** yourself.
That's a 28.
20.
15.
Pipsky got a 21.
Okay. Craig?
28.
Okay. You all managed to avoid the nastiness of seasickness. The next morning, however, things are not really any better, and the wind picks up even more. And so you can... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just trying to think if there's any... I'm just looking over my list of spells, knowing that we're encountering rough weather and trying to see if there's anything that I can do to help. Sorry, I was just trying to see if there's anything that would be useful.
The 8th level spell, yeah, Control like Weather, does a trick.
Well, yeah.
Can I slap guidance on whoever's piloting the boat?
Sure. Although, how long does that work?
It's just an instant, I'm pretty sure, right?
It's for one minute an action on up, the next check.
Up to a minute.
Okay.
I can cast,
I will stand by them the whole time.
Just keep casting guidance.
If you want to chain cast it, then it would probably make a difference, but it would probably be pretty exhausting. What were you going to say, Cody?
I'm just trying to look at, I'm also dealing with some work bullshit because we're not done at work yet. The only thing that I feel like is super useful is, I can probably cast a couple castings of Spider Climb a day, try and help those guys who are going up into the rigging, if that's particularly useful.
How long does that last?
It's an hour. So if somebody had to go up during a particularly rough patch, I could help out in that way.
Okay.
I'm also going to rearrange to this. How long does this last? I haven't done this yet. Okay, I could do that if I need to. I'm going to hold on to that one in case I need it. But, yeah, rope climb is probably about the only thing I have that's super useful. Maybe guiding hand if it's so bad that the navigator needs it. But I don't know if the weather's so bad that they have issues with that.
Okay.
Maybe mage hand to move some rope around, something like that.
Yeah, the crew tells you later that the spider climb in particular was quite helpful. And that they think they made a little bit better time than they might have otherwise.
Sure. Polymorph if I have to. I don't know what would be useful, but I would discuss it with them. I have a few castings of it, so if I could create something that would be more useful, I could polymorph some of the crew.
They're all pretty uncomfortable with that idea.
I start slapping them and turn them into fucking bats or whatever. You can fly! He turned
me into a newt!
He can fly.
I don't have a lot of useful spells in that regard, but, you know, if I can, like I said, I don't know how rough the waters are. It sounds like we're in a 5 out of 10, you know. If I need to misty step or do something, I could try and help out.
That particular day, you're up to 28 mile hour winds.
Holy shit. Okay, well. I have feather fall ready in case something happens.
Yeah, okay.
I am wearing that cloak of the manta ray.
I could fly up and grab something if something, you know, they lose a rope in the wind that causes the sail to flip around. I'll fly out and grab it and pull it back down. That kind of shit.
Okay.
Just trying to help.
I got those winged boots too.
Oh yeah, the boots too. Yeah, boots. And also, oddly enough, even in these waters, boots of the Winterland are gonna keep you from being out in the freezing cold water. Although, I mean, you could also just be below decks if you didn't want to be out there.
No, I'd help out in any way I could. I'd probably keep Pipsky below deck.
Okay. So that night, passes probably pretty roughly, with probably not the greatest sleep. But the following morning, or perhaps throughout the night, you notice the ship rocking a bit less. And the next morning, the winds have dropped down a good deal, and it's also warmed up quite a bit. It's now up to like 55-ish sort of thing. And while it's still choppy, it's not nearly as rough as initially. So that day, you're able to make a good deal better time.
So this is our third day on the water?
Yeah.
Okay. So that first day really blew.
It was not so great. And assuming that you guys sort of continue to help out in similar sorts of ways, the rain sort of keeps going off and on for another couple days, sometimes with higher winds still, but it does stay warmer and keeps getting sort of progressively, it's on a slow gradient, getting warmer as you go.
Is it is this unusual weather, or is it normal for it to be this terrible this time of year?
He tells you that rainy season, it's a bit of a hit or miss. Like, it's usually raining, but it's not often, like, quite this stormy and windy.
Sure.
And we just had a bad piece of luck.
Okay.
Whose party luck's dragging us down?
I rolled a 41 on party luck.
okay. And then on the morning of the... Let's see, which day is this? Like, the morning of the sixth day out... you wake up to a suddenly like super calm day where there's hardly any wind. It's still raining. It's not storming anymore. And now it's just sort of rain that's just sort of coming quietly straight down. But you're almost like becalmed. Like there's hardly any wind.
Huh.
As it appears that all of the storm has like lost all its power and just sort of gone.
Is the Greensong Isles typically more monsoony, temperamental, like what we've been experiencing?
You're told that the Greensong Isles are more or less kind of similar to Valakur, but more so. More rain, more heat.
Gotcha.
But it's still the same sort of dichotomy of rainy season, dry season.
Gotcha.
And they tell you, like, expect it to keep raining. It's probably not going to let up.
Fair.
For maybe even weeks, who knows?
I will okay. Stay below decks more.
Metal man no like the rain?
Yeah, me no like you, Rusty.
Can't even keep a dry cloth to wipe off. Throughout that day, the crew is mostly just sort of sitting around waiting for wind. And like you're still drifting a little bit in currents. But nothing real significant. And the following morning, it goes up in temperature even more. So now it's like 74.
Huh.
But the wind still isn't there. And the captain's like, now I'm getting a little worried. Like, we're not even that far from shore, but I can't get there without wind.
How about that polymorph? Think we could tow him?
I mean, I have 3 castings of it for, it's an hour, I think.
Yeah.
So this spell lets you turn into things? Is that what it does?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We could polymorph into, I don't know, a fucking whale or something, probably.
Anything big?
Yeah, it's the hard part. He described it as, what, a caravel? So, I mean, it's a big fucking boat.
Yeah, it's about 120 feet long.
So with polymorph, I can cast CR level, my level, I think. Is that right? Or am I f***ing it up?
You'll have to check. Polymorph. Blah, 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 whose challenge rating is equal to or less than the target's, or the target's level if it doesn't have a challenge rating. So yes. CR 9 or less.
Sure.
And it's has to be a beast, right?
Yeah, that's the other hard part. Because I'm trying to look for a
no, wait, no, it
water
doesn't.
Creature.
Or...
Yeah, it does have to be a beast, because I was going to do some crazy shit, and you didn't let me. I'm assuming...
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming Kuotoa are not beasts.
I doubt it.
Water elementals probably don't really have towing capacity.
They're also elementals, not beasts.
Oh, damn it. Giant shark is probably the best thing I've come across so far, which probably
can. That is a huge creature.
Probably, I don't know if it can pull or not. As we've discussed several times on the podcast, I have to look in a chart in the DMG, but then refer to the monster manual, or PHB.
Yeah. Kuotoa are humanoids, for your reference.
Okay, so I can't do any fun shit with that, so probably giant shark is the first thing I've come across.
Giant shark, doo 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 doo
doo doo doo doo shark.
Stop it, Dave. Stop it.
Your son's a teenager. How have you been annoyed with that song? I have a toddler.
Because that has been a scout song for a lot longer than it's been popular.
I know.
Yep.
I'm right there with you, Jeff. Have you heard the song once? Then it's annoying.
Right. The weirdest thing is that, like, leading when I worked on scout camp staff, what, in like 2004 was when I was leading kids learning that song at camp, and then it comes to like insane popularity 14 years later.
To be fair, giant shark is a huge beast.
To be fair,
swim of 50 feet. It is 30 feet long. It preys on anything that crosses its path, including whales and ships. So it may
be able
to.
What's its strength score?
23.
23? Okay.
So, I mean, 3 hours of that may pull a little bit. It's better than nothing, anyway. Unless, of course, I mean, the other thought is we polymorph into fucking something flying and we just fuck off with the five or six of us.
Now we can't really get that big of something flying.
Damn you and your non-flying companions.
Is it really such a big deal? Are we in that much of a rush?
No, but it would just be funny to fuck off and leave them.
after we paid for passage?
Like... That's just such a Kellen thing, like F off and take off.
By the way, Dave, I forgot to mention earlier, I will offer to the crew the same I did with our last boat journey to just cast mending anytime anything on the ship needs mending.
Oh. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm sure after the storm, there's a couple like ropes or some such that could use it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you imagine?
Oh, go ahead.
Can you imagine how much use you would get out of the mending spell in real life? How much less maintenance there would need to be done on things in the real world?
For sure. I just found out today that I probably wouldn't apply to this, but I found out today that my washing machine's transmission is out, so I'll have to get a whole one of those.
Gross.
Yeah, I mean, just all the little bits of maintenance that I do every day on the machines at work.
No shit.
I mean, just 10-minute casting. I think I could save some money that way.
That's amazing how much people don't realize that. That would totally change life. 1,000% if you could do little shit like that.
Worldwide industries.
Hand. Oh, yeah. Mage hand, something like... like you said, mending. Oh man.
Prestidigitation would put the entire dry cleaning industry out of business.
Fact. So yeah, if giant shark works, let's pull the boat for 3 hours. Otherwise, meh. I could summon a demon. Is demons going to help in this scenario?
Demons always help.
So you are casting polymorph?
Yeah, if somebody wants to volunteer.
Okay. Oh, you're not volunteering yourself?
Fuck no. Then I have to make the roll.
Let me guess, you're going to look at the Warforged to do all the heavy lifting again, aren't you?
No, and Grandma already volunteered.
Yeah, I'll go.
Hey, all right.
Do you get in the water before you cast Polymorph?
Yep.
I'll just fly down over her. I have a ring of water walking. We never talked about what we bought. I don't know if that's important for the podcast. We had like an hour before this recording began of buying. For me, it was ring of water walking and a water breathing spell. Craig bought everything that was under 200 gold in the DMG.
And didn't require attunement.
Fact. Thank you for the clarification. So yes, I will water walk down to Nushka, who probably has a rope tied around her. And polymorph her into a giant shark.
Okay. Roll a D100.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Fuck, we're in the Green Song Isles. I'm casting spells. Hope this goes well for you, Jeff. 50 on the nose.
Okay.
Well, I suppose that I should clarify for you. A zero in the ones place is a zero, correct?
Yes.
Okay, then 50. Some people have weird rules. I'm just making sure. People have weird rules. I just wanted to make sure. I got 50.
After Nushka successfully transforms into a giant shark, go to make some witty quip as you do and find that you can't speak. And instead that when you do, there are like pink bubbles that start coming out of your mouth.
You cheated. I'm pretty sure that's just a random table out of the PHB. I'm disappointed in you, Dave.
How is that cheating?
That's cheating. I expected you to have like some sort of complicated thing that was made from...
Using the tools provided to me is cheating?
Yes. For you, yes.
So you,
fine, I'll
you,
go look up another table.
You could fucking run Princes of the Apocalypse and we would have a great time. I mean, for you, yes. I qualify that as cheating, Mr. Make Your Own Shit. Own goddamn language for the game.
Fun fact, I actually have run a couple dungeons from Princes of the Apocalypse reskinned for a different campaign.
Excuse me real quick, guys.
But just for that, Wild Magic D1000 table. let's see what we can find.
Bring it.
It's going to get real weird.
I ain't afraid no ghost. The pink bubbles has been used on the podcast before. It's not cool. Do it again. Although what is kind of disturbing, Jeff, is he didn't make me roll the D100, or the, what is it? It's a D100 to hit the wild magic, right? Or a D20 first?
It's a D20, and you have to hit one.
Right. So anytime I cast a spell, it's D100, which I like, but could fuck us hard.
I mean, you guys bitched like hell about it when I did it.
I agree. I like this better. It's not going to be good for us because Kellen doesn't give a fuck, but I like this better.
Lucas whined about it for an hour.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, don't group all of us into Lucas, okay?
Let's see.
I need to catch up. Aw.
Found someone that claims to have a D10,000, but
what?
When I clicked on the link, it was a dead link, so. I did find another D100 table, so I guess we'll just have, like, a D200.
Do you need me to roll another die, then, or...?
Nah, we'll just stick with it for now. However, a moment after Nushka has turned into a giant shark, there is a good deal... The water around you that you're standing on, that Nushka's in, that the ship is in, starts to, like, fairly violently bubble. And then a few seconds after that, several of the waves sort of start billowing up in shapes that don't look natural, and then sort of flow up the side of the ship. And you can roll initiative.
You're turning this into combat, you shit nugget.
Well, yeah, once he got me out of the way.
You're a shark.
Hey. You have extra hit points. Actually, how many hit points? How much does a giant shark get?
I looked it up. It was like 100 something, I think. I closed the book already.
I've got it open. Hang on.
Okay, that's a shitty initiative for me as normal. Oh, he's changing the maps in roll 20.
Is that just now loading for you?
I have 100. Oh, sorry.
I'm seeing a black screen right now.
I have 126 hit points.
Okay, keep thanks. In mind, your initiative is now rolled off that shark, by the way.
Good to know.
Okay, Jeff, you should have control of that token. And initiative. What did you get, Kellen?
There it is.
Did roll 20 go black?
No.
Go move it, up. It's black all the way down okay. at the bottom.
Here,
yeah, got it.
Oh.
Wait, why didn't that work?
Oops.
There we go.
Roll one D20, not one S20.
And remind me, Jeff, does Pepsky have her own initiative or not?
Yes, Pepsky does. I mean, she's not with me. She's not going on my turn at this point.
Right.
I'm not commanding.
I set mine, Dave.
Okay. Yep. You guys, other guys, can type yours in too if you whatever you get.
Oh.
For those at home, cool. I rolled an 8.
19 for me.
Cool.
I rolled a nat 20.
Nat 20.
Kellen, what's your dex?
Oh shit. Hold on a second.
Here, I'm gonna move 16 me next plus to the 3. Ship captain, because since I was there, okay, providing guidance.
What was that?
So I'm gonna move next to the navigator, since I said I was providing guidance.
Okay, that's fine.
I assume I'm within touching distance of Jeff.
Yeah, makes sense. And let's see here.
I'm gonna go see if I have more booze because I'm 8.
All right, one more stat block. Where is that? Wait, who is it? Oh, it's in a different book. What do you know?
Oh, there's Jeff and Cody.
Okay. I also am going to go grab a drink. So, short break, I guess.
Real quick.
Yeah.
As I told Schroeder, I'm pretty sure I'm drinking skunked beer, but it's better than nothing. And I brought a bottle of wine that I opened like 3 weeks ago. So it's probably not good either.
Oh, I almost cracked open a bottle of wine tonight.
Also, how the f*** are you a 4, Jeff?
What do you mean, a 4?
Giant Shark right now is 4 on the turn order. Initiative
Giant
4.
Giant Shark has a +0 to initiative.
So you roll literally less than 20% of your possibility on the die.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. I accept
There's
it.
An that equal, equal chance.
That does happen.
I know, but normally to moi, not to everybody else. Did you describe the scene at all? I was describing it to Schroeder for the listening audience. But so Brozier and I really need to purchase. Has anyone else seen the Drizzly app? Craig, are you back? I don't need to waste time if you're back.
I'm aware of it.
I'm back.
Isn't it obscenely priced?
Not terrible, what I was looking at. It's like an additional $6, $7, $8 to have alcohol delivered, which isn't awful.
I mean, per delivery, like you could order multiple things for that $6, $7.
Not sure.
Is
still playing around with
or variable?
That's I don't know.
Because if you only had to pay one delivery charge, that'd be okay.
So I looked at a kind of rare Japanese whiskey that was specifically at X store on like X Street. So that was an additional $4.99 or $5.99. Now, if my wife wanted to add in X or Y that may not be able to be at that store, would they add another $4.99 charge? That I don't know.
Huh.
We're still investigating.
They have a very large selection.
They do have a solid selection. It looks like a pretty decent app, all things considered. And they would probably actually sponsor us. So shout out to Drizzly. I drink heavily during the show, so somebody should sponsor our alcohol intake.
Yeah.
I imagine that the number of face palms we inspire also, you know, creates more need for alcohol.
Oh, 100%. So anyway.
So, yes, on the board the ship, and off board it in a couple cases.
I moved myself. I hope that was okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
It seems close. It seems better to be closer to the shark.
It makes sense based on what just happened. So the water begins to bubble up. Waves rise up and split off of the water. And then some of them slither up the ship.
No, he got it. Welcome to recording over the internet. Troy got it. Thank you, Troy.
So yes, these waves and such all begin coming up onto the ship. The not too far from you, Kellen, there's a sort of like whirlpool that sort of reverse whirlpool that instead of going down into the water sort of starts rising up out of it, which eventually forms into a rather large creature with watery arms and a head with a sort of spiky crown up on it, all formed out of water.
Huge Poseidon motherfucker is how I described it.
Yeah, that's, yeah, not too far off. And there's a sort of, like, gurgling roar that comes from it before we get underway. It's still raining, by the way.
Sweet.
But there's no wind, so at least the ship won't be rocking back and forth or anything. And Alec, you're up first.
Give him a second. He was just talking to the missus. Are you good, Troy?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Did you miss anything?
No.
Okay. Thank you for the mute, by the
way. I will. You're welcome. Sorry. Pulling up my spells again here.
Did you describe the four things on deck? Or did you describe the thing?
So this guy is the one that was the reverse whirlpool that sort of came up, the big guy. The ones on deck, they look like water elementals. Pretty straight up.
So we're dealing with water elementals on the deck, four of them. And then
one of them is wearing a weird sort of chitinous coral looking armor.
Can you ping which one is wearing the armor? Oh, in the back shit. Corner here. I didn't see that. Sorry, there are five. Excuse me. I only saw the four for sure water weirds. That one I would probably worry about, Troy.
Yeah. So something like control water wouldn't really help me out in this situation because they're not actually water.
Probably correct.
Okay. Man, I did not really prepare for a battle.
Nope, I definitely have utility spells as well, so let's do the best we can.
Magic missile at... let's go third level.
Okay. Go ahead and roll a D200.
As I say, you cast a spell.
And in roll 20, you can actually cast a D200. Just, you know, do... R, you know, slash R, D200.
104.
Thank you for noting your roll.
Okay.
I hope we summon fire elementals.
I like the second list already.
Well, the thing, I don't even know how to do this, but we'll do it. All players randomly change bodies for 1d4 rounds.
Wow.
Okay.
So,
I think we'll probably say that you keep your own mental stats and that you'll use the other person's physical stats.
Wait. So, like, are you choosing the actions for the other person?
I would assume so, yes.
Yes. I mean, like, if you're controlling Kellen, you don't have Kellen's spellcasting knowledge.
Just the body.
Right.
Oh, I do know a few spells that Kellen has, so.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, God, I mean, this is going to be...
You'll keep your own spellcasting capabilities.
TPK, folks. TPK. That's it, right?
How long does this last?
1d4 rounds.
We're f***ed. We're 1,000% f***ed on this one.
Well, we'll see.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Rann as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.